Good morning, good morning. This is the old Trailblazer broadcast coming to you once again from the Metropolitan Tabernacle, our studios here at 501 Opelousas Avenue, where we have services every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock Bible school, 11 o'clock the worship hour here at the First Baptist Church of Algiers. And all of these broadcasts, all of these services are broadcast over our local station, WLNO, and you can pick them up now on your internet there. And it's the call letters are www.wlno.com. You can pick us up 8:45 to 9 o'clock every morning, Monday through Friday for the old Trailblazer. Then at 10 o'clock till 11 for the Sunday school hour and 11 to 12 for the worship hour every Sunday morning. And then the other broadcasts, if you write me, I'll send you a radio log of all our broadcasts. Also, let me give you my mailing address at this time. It's the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Yes, this is Pastor Albert Findarvis, the old Trailblazer, riding out on old Dan early this morning, blazing the path to the hearts of sinners. That's what this broadcast is dedicated to, my friend. Not to make proselytes out of anybody, not to get you to join this church, not you to do anything except trust the Lord. Are you looking to the Lord this morning? My listener friend out there, wherever you are, maybe up there in the cold, frozen north, maybe you're in your old 18-wheeler crossing the highway up there somewhere, on Highway 70, crossing the country, Highway 90, whatever it is, 101. Wherever you are this morning, I wish you'd stop somewhere and drop me a card and let me know that you're listening. Several of our trucker friends are riding in. We send them booklets. They put them out at the truck stops. We'd be glad to do that for you if you do it. Help us be a coal porter for the work, getting out the gospel. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We're bringing you a series of studies now on blood redemption. Blood redemption. We're looking how the Lord saved Abraham. The Lord saved old Abraham, yes, yes. There's no such a thing as believing the word and being saved apart from the blood. Oh, Abraham was saved by the blood. The blood covenant was made between the Father and the Son, and it's on this basis. It's the basis of a sinner's salvation. Abraham believed the promise, but it had to be ratified by blood. All the promises of God point to the blood covenant. It is the blood that makes a difference. Jehovah Christ said, when I see the blood, we looked there in our last study just for a moment, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Speaking there, you remember the story of how the children of Israel were in bondage to the Egyptian, and the Lord delivered them through Moses and Aaron, and old Pharaoh hardened his heart, and yet the Lord brought them forth by blood, by blood. Now let's notice how Jehovah God brought Abraham to believe and how to know the blood covenant in Christ, which is the security and the foundation and the salvation of every soul. It says in the 10th verse there we were reading, and he took unto him all of those, that is, all the sacrificial offerings. That's right. That's right. He took unto him all the sacrificial offerings. And he saw them there, divided them in the midst. That is, he slew the animals, cut them, divided them in two pieces, and then laid each piece one against the other. But the birds he divided not. When Abraham had finished this task, he stood there looking upon them. There was the heifer divided. One half lay against the other half. The goat had been divided. One half was laid over against the other half. The ram had been divided. One half laid over against the other. The pigeon and the dove were not divided. One lay over against the other. There was a sacrifice spread out on the ground with a walkway between the two halves. What a gory, gruesome, bloody sight to look upon. Oh, listen, we have folks right in here and say, I'll not have that bloody redemption, that bloody religion. I'll not have that hellfire and damnation preacher. No, I want smooth things. I want someone to preach on the love of God. Well, there's no greater manifestation in the love of God than here where Abraham was saved. No. Every sinner who ever gets saved will come to identify himself with Christ as his substitute. Faith that believes the word of God, faith that takes God at his word and believes in the God of resurrection is not ashamed. He's not ashamed of the cross. He's not ashamed of the blood sacrifice. No, sir. No, sir. We sang that old song here at the radio choir, sings it day after time after time. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. What can wash away sin? Nothing but the blood. You cannot believe one without the other. For you to be ashamed of Christ as your substitute means you do not believe the word of God. And Christ said, how can you believe which receive honor one from another? The sinner who is not willing to come out and face his own family, his loved ones, his friends, his associates, and become identified with Christ as his Lord and Savior in the face of all their criticism and ridicule and laughter, fun-making, will never come to know the Lord as his Redeemer. Now, that's true, my friend. I make that statement without fear of compromise. Let me go back and make it again. The sinner, the awakened sinner, who is not willing to come out and face his own family, his loved ones, his friends, they're going to wonder what's wrong with you. You don't have to. I recommend that you don't run off spouting, "Oh, well, I'm a lost sinner," to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. No, just shut your mouth. Best way to get saved is to shut your mouth. But you can't be ashamed if someone asks you, "Well, Tom, what's the matter with you?" "Well, I'm a lost sinner." "You don't seem like you're happy like you used to be." "Well, I'm a lost sinner. I'm going to hell if the Lord doesn't save me." So Abraham identified himself with the sacrifice. The blood of the victims was on his hands and on his garments, for he slew those animals. That's right. The blood was there. Brother, you have become willing to be identified with Christ and him alone against this angry world, or go to hell for your trouble. Now, you can believe the word in your mind and think you're saved and never bring down the criticism of Christ-hating, Christ-rejecting world. No. No, if you don't take a stand on the side of righteousness, nobody will hurt you. Or if you're popular, listen, Pastor. Pastor, are you popular? Are you belong to the Lions Club and the Kiwanis Club and the Rotary Club, to the golf club this and the golf club that and the swimming club this and this, all of those things? You belong to all those things and nobody takes a stand against you? Nobody says anything about you? You better check up. You're not saved. Listen, listen, the world loves its own. Did you know that? The world loves its own. Oh, listen now. The world loves its own, but it hates the things of God. Oh, listen, listen, listen. But you cannot believe God's word and become identified with Christ as your substitute and without bringing down the hatred and the wrath of the world upon you. And I mean, yes, the religious world. We have folks who hate this gospel here. They call us hellfire and damnation preaching. They say, "I'll not have that old trailblazer to tell me I'm a sinner." Well, my friend, I don't tell you you're a sinner. God's word does. There Abraham stood. Listen now. Watch old Abraham here. I wish he stood gazing upon that sacrifice. I wish every one of you today who tell me, "Pastor, I'm lost. Pastor, I'm disturbed about my soul." Oh, I wish that you would, you who are awakened, would gaze upon Christ. I mentioned to you in a study or two back that why not go out somewhere where it's quiet? Maybe on the bank of the creek if you live out there in the country. Or if you live here in the city, find you some recluse somewhere, this park or somewhere just in the, on the back porch out there late of the evening. Get out there and get quiet. Get away from all the humdrum of the world. Turn that damnable television off and get out on the back porch and say, "Lord, Lord, I want to know you. Let me gaze upon that sacrifice." As the hours went by there, the fowls came down upon the carcass. And it says that old Abraham drove them away. Many times when a sinner believing the word of God comes to Christ looking upon the sacrifice, doubts and fears like birds of prey will flood his soul, flood his mind. Oh, how the sinner cries out, "Lord, I do believe. Help thou my unbelief. Lord, drive these doubts and fears." I tell my folks here, take a stand on the side of Christ. Turn to Christ. Surely persecution will come. Surely doubts and fear. Surely your knees will knock together. Someone asked you, "Do you know the Lord?" You have to go to quaking and fear and in wondering. And surely you'll do those things. But Lord, the Lord said, "I'll never leave you." But you can ask the Lord, "Are you fearful this morning?" You can say, "Lord, drive these doubts and fears away. Let me believe thy word." Did you know you must believe God's word? Give me patience and faith to rest upon your promise. That's the belief. That's the sinner's cry after the Lord saved him. This is the cry of every sinner as he stands gazing there upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, before God could give Abraham the assurance and a sure footing, he had to see himself as he was. It says, "And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham, and lo, and horror of the great darkness fell upon him." Abraham was made to see his totally depraved condition, his utter helplessness, his utter hopelessness. And there with the evening sun casting his fading beams upon him, a deep sleep fell upon him, and the horror of the great darkness came over him. Abraham never got away from that hour. He saw the awfulness of his condition. I believe every born-again believer can go back. In preparing a message for a coming Lord Day, I made the statement the Lord laid on my heart that every poor soul who ever got saved can go back to the time and the place and the hour and the area where he was living at that time. Don't matter how long ago, 50 years ago, you can go back and you can remember when the Holy Spirit began to probe your heart, sinner, believer. You can remember that. Oh, you might have forgotten some of the details, but you knew, you know now of a surety that at that time you were walking out of God's will. You was a self-willed, stubborn, hell-bent, hell-born sinner, going down the road like old Paul there on the road to Damascus, having his own way, riding his horse, his fiery horse, and the Lord came to you like he came to me. You can remember that? And now let me tell you the statement I made here in the message. If you can't go back to that time, if you can't go back, then there's something wrong. Let me tell you something. We have folks here who have sat here a long time. They tell me they're saved, and they've only adopted some other sinner's, some other person's testimony. And they go back, and they mock, and they mimic those things. And they parrot somebody else's testimony. And they put together a little testimony, and they bring it every time we have prayer service or gathering. They bring that little testimony. Same old sing-song. Nothing there, no fruit there, no substance there. Is that you, my friend? Are you trusting the Lord? Are you looking to the Lord? Are you just hell-bent to go to hell? Listen, folks, every sinner who ever gets saved come to his wit's end. Have you ever come to your wit's end? He sees. He comes to see God. He sees his utter helplessness, his inability to save himself. The only thing he can do is look upon that sacrifice. You can't believe. You can't do anything. You can't bring anything to God. You can't go off and wash yourself and clean up. You can't do that. No. Look at those lepers there outside the gate of Samaria. Did they do anything? No. They got up and they said, if we sit here, we're going to die. Let's go. They said, let's go to the camp of the Syrians. Perhaps they'll save us alive. And if they kill us, we shall but die. But listen, my friend, they didn't try to drag anything along with them. No more than the old prodigal son tried to take the slop bucket home with him. No, he didn't do that. And here you are, want to be saved, and you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you want to bring Papa, and you want to bring Mama. No, I'm so worried about my children. Forget about your children. You lost and going to hell, forget about them. The Lord save you. Then you can begin to pray for them. You don't have but one concern, lost sinner. Waking sinner, you don't have but one concern, and that's your poor soul. And it's headed out to hell as straight as a marten is to his gourd. That's right. But listen, have you ever seen yourself lost? Oh, listen. What did the Lord tell Abraham? Know of a surety. Then he goes on to tell him that his seed would be strangers in a land that was not theirs. They would be afflicted for 400 years, but in the fourth generation. Here are the promises of God. Do you take God's word, spread it out before you, get down flat on your belly if you want to there in the middle of the floor, spread God's word out, and say, Lord, put your finger on these promises. Show me what the Lord has done for me. And reveal to me through the word that Christ died for me. Not through some vision, a dream, or a fantasy world. Not through some imaginary thing. But through the word. God's word, my friend. God spoke to Abraham because there wasn't any printed word. You and I have his word that's printed and inspired by the Holy Spirit. And he says here, know of a surety. Ain't that a gracious promise? Be sure, Abraham. Here, you can be sure, Abraham. Know of a surety. Oh, listen. The Lord saved old Abraham right there between those the bloody sacrifices, representing the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that would come one day. One day the Lord would die. And he did. He did. Back there 3,000 years ago. And saved an old sinner like the old trailblazer. I wish you'd pray for me. Would you pray for me and ask the other folks to tune in? Help me with the broadcast, if you will. Send me a generous offering to stay on this station that you're on now. And this is the old trailblazer. Remember, my address is the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.